Coming up on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast today, the second annual Shelley Irwin Fun Run is coming up in April. We have a preview. History Detectives hits the ground of the Grand Rapids Public Library on January 17. Consumers Energy has a provision of $5 million to lower bills. We discuss how. Our Hope Association is a Grand Rapids-based nonprofit women's substance use treatment facility. We talk about the work they're doing. And we talk to the Blue Eye Queen, a uniquely abled artist and speaker, about her new book and more.
It's the second annual fundraiser for WGVU Public Media. Are you ready for some fun? It's all about health fun and community. That's you. We discussed the Shelley Irwin Fun Run. It's getting easier to say with your name in it, but we know that there's an end goal. April 25th, please mark your calendar in the house. Hello to you, Vance Orr, our marketing and promotions manager. Vance, good morning.
Good morning, Shelley.
Nick Bang, development specialist. Good morning to you. Good work you do.
Hey, Shelley. Good morning.
Okay. Well, are you ready to have a little fun run, Vance, on April 25th?
I am absolutely ready. I would really like to start off with, this is a pretty amazing year that we're starting to run into. 25 years at WGVU for Shelley Irwin. That is no small thing. This is 25 years of conversations, of curiosity, compassion, and community building all across West Michigan. And honestly, that is exactly why this Shelley Fun Run exists. This is not just a race. It's a reflection of you and the community you have created. It's about showing up, moving together, and supporting something that connects all of us.
Can I also say it's a fundraiser for WGVU Public Media, though?
You can absolutely say that.
There we are. Nick, would you add to this? You were very instrumental in helping us and making sure this happened last year with your behind-the-scenes work.
Appreciate it, Shelley. There's, three things I hear when I'm in the community all the time. I say I'm from WGVU Public Media, and they say, and, not in a particular order, but they say three things. I love NPR, I love PBS, and I love Shelley Irwin. This event obviously is called the Shelley Irwin Fun Run, and we are fundraising dollars so that every single dollar can go back into the local program that we have here at WGVU. So again, that fun run is happening Saturday, April 25th, 2006 at Millennium Park here in Grand Rapids.
2026.
I'm sorry about that.
Yep, 20 years ago.
Yeah. And again, the key thing is you don't have to be a runner, right? This is not necessarily about speed. It's about connection and community. And again, every dollar raised goes directly to support WGVU Public Media. Again, that means local journalism, PBS Kids education, cultural programming, and trusted information that serves West Michigan every day.
I'm looking over there at Phil Dawson. Phil's going to come this year. Bring Julian and we'll have a good time together. He nodded his head. Let's get the elephant out of the room, if I may, Vance. This is a necessary community opportunity to help with the funding and more.
Yeah, we've had a tumultuous year here in public media, and if federal funding ever comes back, that's fantastic, but we're not going anywhere. So this is a pivotal year for us to become 100% community funding. So this event is more than a thank you, even though it is a thank you for Shelley Irwin in your 25 years. I'm going to bring it up again. And a thank you to the listeners and the viewers who believe, but it's also an important process for us to help fundraise and keep us on the air. And I will say early registration at WGVU.org/funrun is now open. Early registration also lets us, plan out for the future. It lets us cut down costs on actual race day. So register now. That website again is WGVU.org/funrun.
Can I bring my dog?
You absolutely can bring your dog. Bring dogs, bring kids, bring family members, bring neighbors. Everyone is welcome. We'll have some activities for the kids. You'll be able to interact with some dogs. There will be vendors there providing services. Our charcuterie board will be back, and the Bloody Mary bar will also be back.
Fan favorite.
Yeah. For those runners, they're like, what? Do I get a banana and a bagel too? And most likely, yes. And just as a runner and doing these very frequently, this is dubbed a fun run. So lose all the, I'm going to be first. Well, you can still be first, but you're not going to bring home a trophy. But you might get a medal, Nick.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got some fun things, lined up for us. As Vance said, there's going to be fun activities and some fun little giveaways there. So again, calling all sponsors out there, if you would like to, you know, be part of the fun, right? It's not just necessarily slapping your name on something, but it's about coming in as a community. Last year, it felt like a little neighborhood out there with all of our different sponsors and organizations out there. So we invite for y'all to come out. And for more information, WGVU/funrun.
Can I register when I go to that?
You absolutely can register, and there's a spot there that has information for sponsorships.
I'm already registered.
You know, it's not just about registering to participate, but you can also volunteer. There's a virtual option. You know, if you want to just support Shelley and public media in general, you can donate to show your support. We're going to have that 5K, 2 mile, 1 mile kid and dog run, the virtual option that I just mentioned, but you can walk, stroll, bring your kids, bring your dog. Just cheer people on. This is designed to be welcoming and accessible, just like public media is.
So we want to bring that back to Boot. And kudos to our Stella Fly founder and owner, Laura Caprera, for her behind-the-scenes
work. Shout out, Laura.
Yep, shout out, Laura. Couldn't do it without her expertise, but we're all fun run runners that day and or walkers. What else, Vance, do we need to know?
Well, there's something I would like to know. And Shelley, that's, you know, we know you're an avid runner and you're always participating in marathons and triathlons all year round. And why is running and getting out there with this running community so important to you?
Well, I get my pizza the night before and my nachos and my charcuterie the run after, if you really want to go there. You know, let's go back to following your dreams of I've always wanted to be, you know, in the health world, in a wellness type of world where I can practice that, not to inspire, but to be with others who practice the same habits. There's a half marathon Sunday in Florida, if you really want to know. Want to join me, gentlemen?
Florida in warmer weather right now. It does sound kind of nice.
You know, it has become a lifestyle. And if you only knew the people I have met and I have surrounded myself with, maybe that's the best answer.
Yeah. I mean, this really comes back to the community, not only that WGVU and public media build locally and nationally, but the community that you've personally built here. And if you know Shelley, you know that she's everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Hashtag more to do.
Absolutely.
There's a blessing there. But when one is focused upon their day job and their community, that's a no-brainer. Nick, again, the sponsorships do matter, thanks to those who stepped up last year, but we have bigger and better goals. Obviously, one more time, reach out to you with this opportunity.
Yes, absolutely. Again, you can find that information at wgvu.org/funrun. There's a sponsorship tab right there for you to look into, and then feel free to contact me here on our development team.
And your support just doesn't keep this run going, but it also keeps us on the air with local journalism, programming for PBS Kids, and local programming for PBS Adults. It really does support not only the station, but the community as a whole.
Wonderful. All right. Well, we will for sure talk about this again. Not too much, you know, it's all over the web and our website for sure, but what an opportunity to support WGVU in this 100% community presentation, community-funded model that we now are welcoming into our world. Okay. Anything else, Vance?
Yes. Congratulations on 25 years.
We're getting there, aren't we? Thank you, gentlemen, and thank you, community. I look forward to having some fun on April 25th, but lots to do before that. I'm going to go out with my little theme song. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Shelley.
Let's raise awareness for you to attend the Grand Rapids History Detectives Program on the 17th. Grand Rapids Public Library, your host, Deb Moore, member of the Grand Rapids Historical Commission. You, the chair of the event. You're a big deal. Good morning to you, Deb.
Well, thanks, Shelley. Thanks for having me on.
You're quite welcome. All right. It's free. No registration, but head on down. It'll be a big day this Saturday from 10 to 3:15. What is this 18th Annual History Detectives, Deb?
Well, it's a program to help. It's a great way to pass a gloomy day in January. We have five presentations beginning at 10 o'clock. The doors of the library open at 9, and over the course of the morning and afternoon, we introduce you to some very interesting subjects about Grand Rapids and local history.
Is that kind of the big picture, Deb, is bringing together your community and your experts to, uncover Grand Rapids Public Schools history of the community and talk about images from the women's suffrage? Do you bring history to life here locally?
We do. We have five experts, college professors, PhDs, teachers, who have been researchers and local historians. And they bring their knowledge and their images of what happened in the past to life for the people who come to the presentations. We, like I said, the doors open at 9 o'clock to the library. Parking's on the east side of the library. And we hope to have a great crowd this year.
Yes. Let's get into more of the details. Your beautiful Ryerson Auditorium, the place to gather for these five different 45-minute presentations. What do you kick off with at 10 o'clock?
Well, we're going to have Leanne Kang, who is a Grand Valley State University professor, speaking on the history of the Grand Rapids Public Schools, specifically the segregation that we've experienced in the Grand Rapids Public Schools. After that, we have Ruth Stevens talking about Give Mother the Vote, images from the women's suffrage movement, like from 100 years ago. So those are colorful and fun to look at. Steve Staggs is with the Easttown Neighborhood Community Association, and he's going to talk about the indigenous footpath that ran, or well, still runs, from the Grand River out to Ada, how the Native peoples traded with their counterparts out there.
And then it looks like at 1:30, wow, the 50th anniversary of Vietnamese in Grand Rapids. Talk a bit about this.
Isn't that amazing? Well, Matt and Lee are both teachers at Kentwood High School, and she is an artist and he is a historian. And so together they combined this project, I think it was last year, to have their high school students go to their elders, their parents and their grandparents, and give their stories of what it was like coming from Vietnam to Grand Rapids all those years ago.
Yes.
We're going to finish off with Gina Bivens about the Festival of the Arts, which, of course, was a huge event in Grand Rapids every June for many years and is recently dissolved. But I think that would be fun for everybody who used to go down to that.
Yes, that's your 2:30 to 3:15 Festival of the Arts, One Perspective. What do you want us to do for lunch?
Well, at this point, we did have an earlier deadline to buy a sandwich, but at this point, just bring your own. We're just happy to have you bring your own lunch and stay. You can come for one talk. You can come for three talks. You can stay the whole day, whatever time you have. And I also want to say, Shelley, that if for some reason you can't come on Saturday, January 17th, the next day on Sunday, all five of the presentations will be put up on our website. So people will be able to enjoy them, for the foreseeable future.
Very, very nice. Deb Moore, again, member of the Grand Rapids Historical Commission, chairperson of this History Detectives program this Saturday at the Grand Rapids Public Library. Tell me about the Historical Commission.
Well, the commission is a branch of the city of Grand Rapids, and our mission is to spread the word about Grand Rapids history. So having, sponsoring this History Detectives is part of our mission. I don't know how long the commission's been around, I think for decades. And we also pair up with the Grand Rapids African American Museum and Archives, the Historical Society, the library, the museum, the Greater Grand Rapids Women's History Council, the Library of Michigan, the Genealogy Society. So we've got all the players in Grand Rapids in the local history field on board and supportive of the event.
Very cool on this. And this is, the 18th Annual History Detective. So quite sustainable. And, start planning, as they say, for the 20th. It looks like you have many sponsors, too many to list. But who would have known of all of those who are supportive of history, including our own city, of course, Western Michigan Genealogical Society and more?
Yes, exactly. I forgot to mention, too, Grand Valley's Cucci Office of Local History. So if you go to our website, which is historydetectivesgr.org, you'll find out all kinds of information about the sponsors, the details of the programs, the times, anything you want to know, I think.
When did you get interested in history, Deb?
You know, actually, it was, I think it was my seventh grade teacher. She was just so charismatic, I guess, and talking about the Aztecs and the Incas and, you know, going, just she had very interesting stories about history. And I think that's what I've always been interested in, is more like social history rather than, you know, wars or presidencies or things like that, but more what the regular people were doing. And I think History Detectives is a good example of that.
Yes. All right. Details one more time for this Saturday, please.
The 18th Annual History Detectives, Saturday from 10 to 3:15 at the Grand Rapids Public Library, the Ryerson Auditorium downtown. You can park on the lot to the east, walk in the main doors, and then take a sharp left to go up the stairs, and you'll be right there. Wonderful. If you need an elevator, there's one. Just walk straight back, and it's to your right. Bring your own lunch. Enjoy our talks, as many or as few as you want. And just come and enjoy and spend the day with some like-minded people.
Yes. And the day, according to today's forecast for Saturday, snow showers, mostly cloudy, high near 25. So what better place to be would be that beautiful Ryerson Auditorium in your Grand Rapids Public Library. Okay, Deb Moore, thank you.
Hey, thank you, Shelley.
Consumers Energy stands with customers on energy costs, continuing the commitment, providing a lot of money to lower bills. So we talk to you, Vice President of External Affairs, Angela Tompkins. Good morning, Angela.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, always nice to save a dollar to spend a dollar, but yet we know the importance of consumers' energy in our own backyard. And thank you for standing with customers on energy costs is the headline. Remind me of the good work Consumers Energy does in general, Angela.
In general, so Consumers Energy, we are the largest energy provider across the state of Michigan, and we are here to announce our commitment, as you said, to stand with our customers. We know and understand that the cost of just about everything are rising these days, and we have made a commitment to give $5 million to assist our customers who may be facing some difficult times or struggling to pay their bills. We stand with our customers. We know that many of our customers may be at the kitchen table having some difficult conversations around what bills to pay or what difficult decisions they may have to make. And we want to make sure that we can help reduce some of that burden that our customers are facing. And so this $5 million commitment across the state of Michigan to many different agencies allows for our customers to have access to some support.
Let's talk about how this is working, this new investment marking broader commitment to keeping energy within reach. How's it work?
So, yeah, this continued commitment that we have to stand with our customers and partner for those who might need some help. If you do find yourself in need of help, we encourage customers to reach out to 211. 211 is a place where our customers can call a free service that will connect them to various nonprofits right locally in their respective communities so that they can find a connection to the assistance that they need. Additionally, they can connect with us on our website, consumersenergy.com/assistance. Customers can find on our website a tool that we have called My Personalized Offerings. This allows for the customer to plug in their unique family information, and within minutes, a solution is catered for that specific need. We know there's no one-size-fits-all approach for what the need may be, and so customers can get a very tailored and specific plan to address their specific hardship or need at the moment.
Tell us about some of the partnerships you have, from the Salvation Army, Great Lakes Division, to Kent County Community Action, and more.
And more. So 11 agencies across the state of Michigan will receive these funds. They will then distribute the funds to some local community organizations. One that, you know, is really special to me is the New Day Foundation. They help families who are fighting cancer. We know healthcare costs continue to be the number one cause of bankruptcies and a large reason why many customers fall behind on their bills. And so, again, this $5 million commitment really helps those families who have facing some struggling times.
Talking all things Consumers Energy, standing with customers on energy costs, continuing its commitment, providing $5 million to lower your bill. So pay attention to the best way to find out more information. Angela Tompkins, Vice President of External Affairs. So here we are talking January 13th. What's my action item to find out more information?
So the action item, we please encourage you to call 211 if you do find yourself in a situation of need or needing some assistance. I encourage you, there is no shame in it. Please call 211 to get connected to resources that are within your local community, or you can please go to consumersenergy.com/assistance.
Wonderful. Okay, well, we're not through with winter just yet, so pay attention to how to best get involved with Consumers Energy, staying committed to help customers stay ahead by showing up when it matters most. Okay, Angela, go get them. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Here we go. My next guest is a big deal, and it's okay if you call her Blue Eye Queen. She's all over the map, native Michigander, uniquely abled artist, author, and speaker. Melissa, I'm glad that you are here. You bear gifts. You bring in a little stuffed service dog. What more would we want? Good morning.
Good morning. Yay! GM. So happy to be here, too.
Melissa, I'm looking forward to sharing a bit of your story, who you are, Oreo, and a tale of a service animal, and of course, how best to be inspired by you and your artwork. How would you describe you, a Blue Eye Queen?
Oh, very nice. So you can pick any name that you like when you're an artist, and I've got these big old blue eyes, so I like to go by Blue Eye Queen. I'm a uniquely abled artist, and I was born with a permanent disability, so I use my opportunity to inspire people through my artwork and storytelling.
Very nice. You are collegiately trained for your artwork?
Yes, I am. I actually went to Kendall nearby here in Grand Rapids.
Nice. What's your niche in the art world?
I'd say abstract. So it's expressionist. So you kind of just go through this process of healing. Whatever pain or emotions I'm feeling, I just lay it all out on artwork. People like to say that my style looks like a little bit like Jackson Pollock. It's like drips and drops and sparkles. And it helps me overcome a lot of adversity, especially being disabled since birth. I don't show a lot of people what I'm experiencing on the inside. So I like to push that pain through purpose and beauty through my artwork, which is what really gets people inspired. It's big, beautiful, vibrant colors.
Yes. Where's home for you?
Home is Michigan. It's all over Michigan. My family, they live in Jackson, but I'm a Detroiter downtown.
Yes. What's one thing people might be surprised to learn about you?
I think that people would be surprised that I have so much well, this is a tough question. I guess independence. I like to be able to say that I can get up and try, even if I'm not able to do it immediately the first time. I keep trying until I'm able to conquer it. And that's something that most people, they don't see that at the first shot. They just give up. But I like to keep going until I make it happen.
There is the inspiration beginning. All right, let's get into your author work, A Tale of a Service Animal. Tell us more here.
So A Tale of a Service Animal it's my first book. I'm writing now a second book, and this first book is about my Chihuahua. Her name was Coco. She was my service dog, and she was 17 before she passed. And this is a memoir about all of our experiences as we traveled through airports and accessible vans. And we lived in Colombia for 5 years in South America, so they called her Coquito. And so this is a great way to help just immediately instill children on how service dogs are working animals. And it's unconditional love having a service dog, and there's so many ways that you can train it to be able to help you in your everyday, but it is a process. And children reading this, I do storytelling at Animal Control in Detroit, I do storytelling at the hospitals, and the kids just love the coloring activities. They just glow up. "There's my friend Melissa," they say. I become their hero at the end of the storytelling.
Yes. Coco?
Coco, yeah. Coco. And then the new one is Oreo. Okay.
So Oreo is in your life now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's a puppy. She's been through 1 year of training. She's currently at training right now. So it could take years to get it up to that point of what you need them to. And so she's on her way. Actually, her trainer is so impressed, saying that she's better than most adult dogs.
Nice. And an important part of your lifestyle.
I like to be inspired by my surroundings, so I'm constantly thinking of ways that I could be on the go. I experienced a boating crash last year, which made me more disabled, so that actually humbled me to be in a wheelchair full-time and experience how special it is in perspective of people that have to do this everyday lifestyle. Before the chair, I was on crutches, so I was flying around, and now I'm just seeing life totally different, and it's humbling me.
Thank you for that admission. All right, let's get into your artwork. You've showcased your abstract artwork internationally 36 times. Where'd your inspiration come from in a few places that you have shown and more?
I'd say Colombia would be the first because the colors are so vibrant. The comunas are purples and yellows and greens. I'd also say Miami. Miami's got this fun vibe about being at the ocean, and it's always sunny there. And then lastly, Detroit, of course. It's got this industrial grit to it. It's got the darks and the grays. And I had a warehouse studio at the Russell Industrial Center for 10 years. So that was one of my favorite parts about my time as an artist, is being surrounded by all that gritty and industrial vibe.
Yes. And is your artwork for sale?
Yes, if I may, I can shout out the website. So my book, as well as my artwork and any of these fun things that I brought today, it's www.shop.melissadivitri.com.
The V-tree.
Melissa. Yeah, with the fingers.
Blue Eye Queen, yeah. There you are.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing when it comes to this topic of emotional intelligence and disability etiquette?
Oh, wow. This is a great question. So I am a TEDx keynote speaker. So I close the conferences. So I come up and I just make the room just feel this entire vibration where we put our barriers down and we are speaking with each other from the heart, because there's a lot of things that people are going through that you just can't see from the eyesight. There's a lot of internal, whether it could be depression, it could be mental, it could be even, you know, I have a bone disease. So we just have to be able to understand that we're here for a short time. And so we need to be able to use that impactfully and understand that everybody has different unique things going on. And so TEDx gave me this opportunity to be a keynote speaker for them. I'm also doing disability etiquette talks at colleges and Ivy League schools in different conferences around the United States. So that just gives me another way to do storytelling as a wounded healer and sharing with people to help them get through the same obstacles that I'm facing to this day.
Yes. Melissa, what would be a couple of pieces of disability etiquette to share?
Oh, yes. Okay, so the topic of this. So I would say, you know, I'm in a chair full time now. And one thing that I would really appreciate is if people didn't just push me without asking, because this is how I get around. This is my body. I would like the help, and I will certainly ask for the help. But somebody that just moves me out of the way because I might be in their way is not a polite way to do it.
Yes. What about opening a door for you? Is that okay?
Oh, absolutely. I love my doors open. A lot of times there's no access button. I'm so happy that there's access buttons on this building. Before I even go and do something, I have to go to Google and make sure there's parking and make sure that there's way for me to get ramps. And it's all of these things that you don't think about until you're put into that mindset. And, you know, a couple more do's and don'ts is, you know, reaching over for things. Like if I have a caregiver and that person's with me, I would like you to talk to me and not talk to my caregiver, because then that makes me feel seen, valued, and heard. And also, don't talk slowly like I'm dumb. I'm not dumb. I'm just different. I'm differently abled. And I do feel like I do a lot more than the able-bodied population, because I have that determination in myself to get up and get after it, because I want to be able to leave this world with a lasting impression. Yes.
Is there another book in you?
There is, yes. So Barnes & Noble is one of my biggest retailers right now. They've requested for me to do author nights with them in different parts in Michigan. So I'm currently writing a memoir about day in the life of a uniquely abled person. And it's just all the layers of how I was born with a disability and all these different experiences that I've had, from going to college and living in Michigan and bearing through the snow and being smiley and being confident and dating. I mean, those, all these things that you don't think about until you have to actually go through them, it really molds you. It's an onion. It's another layer to peel back, and it's an intimate book. And I truly feel that I could just give that to somebody to say, here, read this, you know, what do you think about it? And then they'll have a whole different perspective on people that are uniquely abled.
Yes. Where do we follow you on your social media? I know you have millions of views across your platforms.
Yes, I do. I have a big following. People, they find that I'm funny. I'm witty. I like to make just make people smile. On Instagram, I go by Missy D.I., also Missy D.I. _artist. I also go by Blue Eye Queen on Twitter, and also YouTube is my first and last name, Melissa DeVitri. So those are the best places where people find the journey of uniquely abled artist.
What little gift did you bring in?
Well, I handmade you something. Yes, and I'm also a sustainable artist, so all the supplies that you see, they're all non-toxic. So I handmake these little halo crowns. So whenever I'm activating a show, I call it activation, I give these halo crowns away, and then I can see all these different people that are wearing my crowns, and it just really brightens me up.
There will be a photo op after we are finished. What do you tell the young Melissa?
I tell them, you know, be patient with yourself, have compassion. The world is moving very fast, and there's a lot of things that want to desensitize us. But just take a moment to find your safe place, whether that's art, music, writing, or just prayer or meditation. And just take that time for yourself, because you don't be so hard on yourself, is what I would tell the youth.
Yes. Are you teaching abstract painting with kids and adults with disabilities?
Yes, it's one of my new initiatives. Folks like Spinal Bifida Association and the Museum of Modern Art have reached out to me to teach children that have intellectual and physical disabilities, children and adults. And it's been the most inspiring part of my work. It's very humbling, giving back to allow somebody to be creative for a day. There's a lot that you can do for their mindset to make them feel good.
Yes. With our time dwindling, what is one thing you want us to remember from today's showcase here on the show? And how do we support you one more time?
Oh, so great. So I'd say if you're visiting my blog or my shop, each of my art pieces, they have a title, and that title is a chapter of my life. And within that title, there's also a caption. So it's talking about things that I've faced over the time in the course of my journey. I have more than 900 paintings that I've put out into the world, and all of those are just little time pieces about who I am and how I've grown as a person. And if you'd like to support myself or my book, which is A Tale of a Service Animal, you can visit me online on my shop. It's also with Barnes & Noble and Books A Million. It's on Amazon as well. A lot of people are picking it up. I'm just so proud that it's getting the traction that it got. It turned out to be a memoir, and now it's become a beautiful blessing.
Well, rest in peace, Coco, but what's your latest best friend's name?
Yes, rest heavenly, little coconut. So we've got Oreo, and I've got a plush here to bring her memory today since she's in training. Yeah, Oreo is a Chihuahua Terrier, and she's unconditional. She's my little pal.
Should be. Well, Judy, Bubby, and Babe from my household say hello to you and Oreo. All right. Thank you for your inspiration and this conversation. So much more for you to do, Melissa DeVitri. Take care and happy travels. Director Holly Natty in the house. Our hope, healing, growth, recovery. Let's get into our conversation, needing to get the word out. Since 1972, you've been busy. Good morning to you, Holly.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
You are quite welcome. Big job that you and yours have with Our Hope, as you are described as a Our Hope Association, a Grand Rapids-based nonprofit women's substance use treatment facility. Are you busy?
Oh, absolutely. We have a detox program that has 10 beds available, and we also have a long-term residential treatment that's a 90-day program, and it's really an opportunity for women to immerse themselves in the recovery and the recovery process, and just having that continuum of care is just such a vital thing for the community and for the women going through that process.
Yes, I know you are working hard to spread awareness about your organization, the work and services you provide. Where are you located?
So we have two locations now. The last few years have gone through an expansion. So our original home that we've had since the 1972 is in Heritage Hill area. And then our second home facility is located on Walker Avenue, kind of where Leonard intersects with it. And that's where we have the detox and then residential programming as well.
Are you serving women from all counties of our state?
So we serve 38 counties throughout the state. So with Kent County being our biggest area of service, just based on, you know, physically being here. But we're able to take women from all over West Michigan, Southwest Michigan, Mid-State, and then Macomb County as well.
In today's world, what is under the heading of substance use?
Yeah, so any woman that is having a alcohol addiction or any sort of opioid drug or other drug, any sort of addiction was included in that. For detox, we can do opioids, alcohol, stimulants as well, which not all detox services are able to do.
Do women come to you on their own free will?
Yes. So we are not a program. If somebody wants to leave, they are welcome to leave. Obviously, we try to encourage them to stay to the best of our ability, remind them, you know, the reasons that they came to us to begin with. But even if they're court ordered, if they are wanting to leave, that is their choice and they are allowed to leave at any time. And we just, again, try to remind them and keep them, encourage them to stay as long as they're willing to.
Holly, at what point does a woman know that it's time to get help?
So with the clients that we work with, I really think a lot of times it is that rock bottom. You know, we have women who will come to us and not quite be ready for treatment, and so they might leave and then get to the point that they are ready for treatment. But I do feel like, you know, they have to hit that breaking point. They have to want to be there for themselves, not necessarily for somebody else. Because if it's for somebody else that they're trying to be there for, it's just not a big enough motivation a lot of times to get them to stay. So they have to be in a point where they're really ready to make a giant life change, because it is. It's a hard thing to do, and they have to be at that point.
And we're talking, do we call it treatment includes work, I'm sure, with a psychology psychiatrist and more?
Yeah, absolutely. So our residential program includes 3 hours of group therapy every day and at least 1 hour of individual therapy a week. That's all dependent on the client itself. Every treatment plan is designed specially for each woman based on her needs, based on, you know, mental co-occurring conditions that she might have, based on culture, based on different other aspects of life, past history, trauma, things like that. And so the whole program is based around that therapeutic side in a dignified, comfortable, home-like setting.
Is there an average length of stay?
So our program itself for residential is a 90-day program. So you know, to fully complete the program, that's typically the time frame required. And then our detox program is typically 3 to 5 days, but it depends on where they're at in the detox process and what they're detoxing from for that.
Holly Natty with us, Development Director with Our Hope Association. Again, tagline, hope, healing, growth, recovery. Your niche in development, what's it take to afford to go?
Yeah.
I don't need specifics, but you need to raise money and more.
Absolutely. So We need support specifically for our detox program. So for the women, we primarily work with Medicaid, so they're not paying anything for the services, but we're reimbursed through the Medicaid. However, substance use services cost more money to run than they do the, you know, than the reimbursements that we receive. And so we need support for the community to help, you know, be able to, for us to continue these services. There have been a lot of substance use services in the area recently that have closed down, including Turning Point, which was the biggest area known for providing detox services. So we are now that service in for women in Kent County, and we need support to helping keep that service alive.
I've mentioned, Holly, your tagline a couple of times, hope, healing, growth. Is recovery, I guess, your bottom line?
Absolutely. That is the goal for all of our clients, is to, once they leave us, maintain lifelong recovery. You know, we help support them once they leave us by setting them up with outpatient services, sober living, getting them ready for that next step to be on their own and to maintain that recovery life.
All walks of life affected?
Oh, absolutely. This is a disease that does not discriminate. You know, while we work with primarily low-income women with, again, that use that Medicaid, it is not a disease that is, you know, set specifically for them. You see it happen in every walk of life, every career, every avenue, every status of job, every family type. You know, it's something that can be generational, that is passed along, and we work to help break those generational cycles. But it's something that can impact anybody at any time.
Thank you for you representing our Hope Association. All right, Holly, how do we find out more information?
So you can find out more information on our website, ourhopeassociation.org. We have all of the information, how you can get referred to us if you're a client, how you can donate to us is right there as well. And we would just love, we have a great video on there as well for people to watch that shares some testimonies and talks more about the programs as well, but really shows the impact of our clients.
Thank you. I trust you're changing lives.
Absolutely. Helping save them, for sure.
Good. All right, Holly, Natty, thank you. Kudos to your executive director, Rosemary Hodges, your wonderful staff, and those who reach out for help to Our Hope Association. Enjoy your day. 9:58 in the morning, that's a wrap of this edition of the WGVU Morning Show. Bill Nye, the science guy, says everyone you will ever meet knows something you don't. So learn something new today. Hope you enjoyed the show. Register for the Shelley Irwin Fun Run for April 25th on WGVU.org. Selfish plug, support WGVU and all of our great community voices. Talk tomorrow.